There's these really cool compressed wipes where they're just like probably the size of a dime, and then you add water to it and it expands into a like a nice reusable wipe. You can use that to wipe your butt, wipe your face. We have those.
But not both.
One, what's that?
Not both, though. Like, wipe your butt or your face with it, right?
Or, well, wipe your face first and then wipe your butt.
Welcome to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast, where we discuss the journey to real liberty through self-sufficiency, counter-economics, non-aggression, and the agora.
The Outpost represents the border between societal norm and the pioneer spirit. Every episode contains practical, philosophical, and technical information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast. I am your host, Regina, and I'm here with my co-host, Cyrus.
Woo-hoo. I'm here.
And today we are wrapping up our bug out bag series, part two of two, The Factions of Survival.
Right on.
So before we get all into that, I just wanted to quickly talk about my Mexico trip I just took.
Yeah. How was that little mini vacation?
Oh my God, it was awesome. So, you know, with the whole pandemic thing going on, it was our five-year anniversary, Cody and my five-year anniversary. And we had said since our first year that if we make it to 5 years, we'll go to New Zealand for our five-year anniversary. Well, that didn't happen this year.
Right.
Because New Zealand doesn't even, I don't even think their borders are open right now. I don't even think they're letting travelers into the island still.
Oh, wow.
They had draconian measures to keep the COVID off their island, and they succeeded, but at a high cost. So we are now in Arizona at the southern border, and I decided that we'll just go to Mexico. Screw it.
Mm-hmm.
So upon my researches, I found a little town. Oh shit, there's a fucking coyote. Hold on. Where'd he go? Yep. Oh, that's a different one. I should probably tell Cody so he can shoot it. Ah, fuck.
What'd that coyote do to you?
What should I do? Yeah, I know. All right, I'm just going to keep rolling with it. Fuck. So yeah, I was researching places to go in Mexico and found a little place called Puerto Peñasco, Rocky Point. You can access Rocky Point through the southern border of Arizona, and it's a 1 hour drive. So you only drive in 1 hour into Mexico. Don't have to fly in. Don't have to deal with that whole mess. And, it was a good experience. So if you're wanting to get out of the country, but you don't want to go on a plane because of all the BS going on, it's a good alternative. And it's very touristy. You get the whole tropical Mexico experience, the beach experience.
Nice.
Yeah. We got searched twice going into Mexico. Extorted by one cop at a stop sign. But then going back into America, they didn't search us at all. They didn't even give a shit. They just let us on through.
That's strange to me.
I thought that was weird too. I mean, I'm chalking it up to the fact that we're white and have passports and no accent. So they're just like, come on through. But getting down there, we got searched going over the border, which we expected. But then there was a second checkpoint by the military police. And they searched us again. And that was a more thorough 30-minute search. They went through every single thing in the truck. And then within 5 minutes of being in Mexico, I stopped at a stop sign, but I guess I stopped too late, quote unquote. And a cop was like hiding around the corner. And he's like, yeah, you did not stop at the stop sign. I'm like, I did stop at the stop sign. He's like, well, you stopped too late. It's $60.
You can pay that in cash right now.
And you have to wait here. That's exactly what happened. You can either go to the station, you have to wait for police escort, it take 30 minutes, or you just pay me $60 right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'll pay you 60 right now, which I know I could have talked him down to 40 in hindsight, but, you know, it's a learning experience.
Right.
So then in Mexico, we did a fishing trip, caught 60, 70 fish. It was amazing with El Jefe. El Jefe charter, brought home shrimp, scallops, fish, Cuban cigars, some Xanax. We bought antibiotics for our bug out bags because there's a La Farmacia on every corner down there.
I bet.
You can get whatever you want. You can get oxycodone. You can get Adderall. I decided to get Xanax. I don't even know why. I've never taken it. I just wanted to get it to get it.
Wanted to be a black market smuggler.
Yeah, I just wanted to try it. So I just got the small bottle.
All right.
And then I just put the pills in my Tylenol bottle. And I was like, oh, man, I hope they don't harass us going over the border with these prescription drugs. And then they didn't even check nothing.
That's awesome.
We had all kinds of contraband. Well, the seafood isn't contraband, but...
I don't think the Cubans are anymore, are they?
I'm not sure. I thought that whole thing got dropped, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
So the moral to the story is, if you want to travel, but you don't want to deal with COVID BS, just drop down into Puerto Peñasco. It's kind of a hidden gem.
Cool. Was everything all masked up there? Everybody walking around in masks?
Yeah, you still have to do all that BS. And they actually have stations with antibacterial stuff where you put your feet in. Like, not your bare feet, but your shoes. So you walk across this little mat to sanitize your shoes. Because, you know, that's where COVID comes from, is your shoes.
Jesus. I've been hearing crap about recommendations to wear two masks. Have you heard anything like that?
Well, they just want to kill us off. Clearly, they don't want us to breathe, because if you put two masks on, you're definitely not breathing any oxygen.
I don't know how accurate that is. I've heard some rumblings about recommendations for double masks and stuff, and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this is never going away. This bullshit is never going to go away.
Yeah, I woke up thinking that. I'm like, now that they have us adjusted to this quote-unquote new normal with the masks and the social distancing, what is next? What are they going to push next? They're priming the pump for something. You know, it's just pretty unreal, so.
I can just picture that meeting of sinister overlords and behind closed doors all smoking cigars, and, you know, one of them's like, I told you, Bill. I told you we could get them all to wear masks, you know. And then Frank is like, you think we can get them to wear two? Let's see if they'll wear two.
Oh, my goodness. I could only imagine that there's people wearing two. Now, I don't know if that's just like a internet rumor, because I don't know where the hell that comes from, but I heard the same thing. It's all funny how we all hear like the same chatter over this collective consciousness of the internet, which is the fifth dimension. Is what I call it now.
Right.
Weird. But no, I'm not wearing two masks.
I'm not wearing one.
Yeah, I know. I'm starting to see a lot of people backing off on the mask wearing. It's
really?
About good. It's about a 20-80 right now. 80% masked, 20% unmasked.
Okay, we better get rolling. This is going to be a long episode.
We're not going to make it long. We're going to make it short, actually. We're going to blast through these topics, the factions of survival. Basically, go to MaximumOffGrid.com. You can download the checklist for all the product gear recommendations for each faction. So when we talk about water, I recommend all sorts of different water filtration and purification gear. Same with food, medical. So refer to that if you really want to delve deep. We're just going to skim the surface in this episode and call it good. So, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. The first faction, and these are not all necessarily in order, but usually the most important thing that people perceive is water. So, on your bug out journey, you will want to at least try to coordinate your bug out by a water source. Because if you're not, you're carrying a lot of water and it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not possible, just take the bare minimum water you need to survive. You're really hoping to not be in a bug out situation for longer than 72 hours anyways, so you can get away with less water. But if you go by a water source, then you just don't have to worry nearly as much.
Yeah. Refill your canteen or whatever you're using. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You'll definitely want to purify any water that you get along your way, even if it's technically municipal. If there's a shit hit the fan situation, that water could be contaminated. There may not be filtration systems in place. So always bare minimum, boil your water.
Yeah, you could keep iodine tablets.
Yep, that's what I was just about to say. Yeah.
Kind of a quick and dirty solution.
Well, they're kind of a must-have because to sit down, set up your fire, boil the water, put out your fire, pack your, you know, fire stuff, like your stove. I mean, that's, you're looking at, what, 30-minute turnaround time right there.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
But if you have an iodine tablet, you're looking at, you know, plop an iodine tablet in, 2 minutes, you can drink it.
Keep moving. Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to add to water? There's all kinds of cool water filtration systems out there. But I do want to say there is a difference between water filtration and purification. And the difference is filtering really only gets out your sediments and maybe bacteria. Purification gets rid of your viruses and your smaller, you know, microbes that could make you sick. So filtering water is not good enough. You need to make sure that you are purifying your water.
Yep.
A lot of these water purification systems will take out bacteria, but won't take out viruses. But viruses aren't so much of a concern in America, per se, because we do not run our sewage and our drinking water, basically. You know, that's how you end up with norovirus and things like that. But there is a small chance there could be virus in your water. So you really want to check, you know, will this filtration system take out virus or does it just take out bacteria? Most just take out bacteria, which would probably be okay in most situations, but it's just something I want you to be aware of. Anything else you want to add to the water?
No, you covered it.
Covered. Next topic. Second faction of survival is food. Got to eat it to live.
Got to keep a little bit of it on hand.
Yeah. You can go 72 hours without food, but you'll probably be miserable.
Yeah, the thing about packing food with you isn't so much that you'll die without it in a 72-hour period, but that your energy level will suffer. Your ability to keep going, your decision-making will suffer. It's hard to make really good decisions when all you can think of is, Jesus, I'm hungry. I wish I had a Snickers.
Yeah, that's so true. Snickers, that's a great idea to put in your bag. I agree. You know, you watch shows like Survival or what's it called? Naked and Afraid, you know. These people go 21 days without barely eating anything and they lose 20 pounds and they survive. So it's doable, but they're also not trekking. I mean, they do trek at the very end, the finale. But on a bug out situation, you're trekking, you're moving, you're not staying put. So you're just burning tons of calories and your body's under stress. So you might as well pack some food. It could be as simple as an MRE. I like MREs for the fact that they have a ton of calories. It comes with a heating. It comes with TP, spoon, you know, so it's like a kit. It's like your mess kit.
Mm-hmm. I like the little tuna kits.
Oh,
tuna
that's
kits
a good idea.
And salmon kits, you know. Not the ones in the cans, but the ones in the bag, because they just pack so nicely. And, you know, they last forever. Well, not forever, but they last a long time.
They do.
High energy food.
Right.
So in my bug out bag, I've got, as far as making sure I have plenty of energy, we keep tuna, peanut butter crackers usually, and the little single serving Gatorade powder mixes that you can just put in a bottle of water, and the, what is it called? The little vitamin C packets. They're supposed to be for like when you're sick, you know, it's supposed to help you. They come
emergency?
In little orange packets and emergency.
Yeah, emergency.
Yeah, we keep some of those in there. And that's all basically just to make sure you can keep your energy up. All of that stuff will do a good job.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And those, the tuna packets, oh man, they've got some really good flavors right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've really upped their game on the tuna packets. I got sriracha and I got a lemon pepper one and they're delicious.
Right. They are good.
Yeah, they do make emergency food ration bars, which is kind of like a Coast Guard thing, you know? It's just huge calories and small bars. The only thing I don't like about those is that you could eat them too fast and make yourself sick because they're so calorie dense.
Yeah, I don't like them. I mean, I don't
like them either.
Their purpose is good. I don't like, they just taste like shit.
They taste like crap. You're totally right.
Yeah.
Neither have I, but it's there. It's calories.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get fancy, you can do the freeze-dried food, and there's all kinds of delicious gourmet freeze-dried food. It doesn't weigh hardly anything. You add water, rehydrate it, and you're eating like, that's like glamming. That's like glam bug-out food. Glamping.
Right. For the glamorous bug-out, right?
To me, it's too expensive. I like your idea of just getting the tuna packs and peanut butter crackers and you know, I'd be up for making my own freeze-dried food, but then you're looking at a huge expense on your freeze dryer.
Yeah, unless that's already one of your preps. Like if you're storing food with a freeze dryer, then you've already absorbed that cost into another part of your prep.
Yeah, that's a good point. You may want to look into some long-term survival food situations because, you know, after your bug out, what is a situation after? And that's where things like a survival fishing kit, a hunting slingshot, things like that could be handy. Mm-hmm. So you can forage, hunt, gather food.
Trap.
Yep.
Have the equipment in your bag to build a snare, that kind of stuff.
Yep. I've got some good gear recommendations on the website for those kinds of things. Moving on to Faction 3, your survival medical supplies. You want to have first aid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my biggest recommendations is to have anti-diarrhea medication on hand, because that could wipe you out.
Yeah.
That could be the difference between life and death. Could you imagine like bugging out and having the trots?
Oh my gosh, that would suck. Having to stop every 5 minutes to blow a hole in your pants.
Could you imagine bugging out of the city with the trots because you drank some bad water? Oh. Or I mean, like, there's so many ways you could get it. You could get the trots just from being nervous, you know?
Right.
just from the stress of the bug out situation, you could get the shits. And right. then now you're, I mean, it would just be a total disaster zone. So that is my, if you have one thing, anti-diarrhea medication.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Do you have any hacks, any medical supply hacks?
Not really. We just have a simple little kit. We make the kit that we have didn't come with sutures. So we ordered that separately because, you know, if you get a really bad cut that needs stitches, you've got to be able to do that. And most kits don't come with suture equipment. So typically have to buy that separate. And also if you want to have a trauma kit, you usually have to do that separately because the little, you know, survival first aid kit that you buy on the Walmart aisle is not going to treat, say, a bullet wound.
Yep.
So, you know, you want for the really bad kind of trauma, you want blood clot powder and, you know, the larger gauze packs. So that'd be all I would say about the medical side of it. If you buy one of those simple little kits, that pretty much covers most things, you know, Band-Aids, aspirin, Tylenol, antiseptic wipes, things like that is pretty well covered in just a simple kit.
Yeah, that's a good point. One thing I like to have is super glue. So if you have a cut that won't stop bleeding, obviously sterilize it first because you don't want to trap the bacteria in, but you can literally dab some super glue on it. I do it all the time. It works way better than a Band-Aid.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Another thing I really like is the Israeli bandages. I don't know if you've heard of those before.
I don't guess so.
It's a compression bandage. It's in an airtight plastic bag, and it will control bleeding. You know, it's basically just a swath of bandage, you know. Israeli compression bandage. That's good for your serious first aid situations.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, they're really cool.
I imagine you've got some links in that article for the Israeli bandage.
Yep. And I can only find them on Amazon. So another thing that I mentioned, we went to Mexico. We actually were able to buy antibiotics without a prescription there. So we got penicillin and amoxicillin, which I think was a huge score.
Right.
For our bug out bags. But if you don't have access to Mexican pharmacias, then you can go with a fish antibiotic, a fish aquarium antibiotic, if you can't get your hands on it.
Fish mox,
is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. It's amoxicillin for fish.
Yeah.
If you go into like your farmer's co-op and all tractor supply, all those places, they usually carry fish mox.
And then you'll look it up on the internet and there's a bunch of doctors saying, oh, don't do it. It's not regulated. They don't FDA, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's fine. If you're in an SHTF situation. Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. But of course, they're going to try and get us to not do that. All right. Moving on. Faction 4, survival shelter, warmth, and exposure. Mm-hmm. We are looking at Basics emergency blanket, space blanket. They're kind of tinfoily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. That's probably like the bare minimum. Yep. Those are, we have a couple of those. Those bivvies, those life bivvies. Those are cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hand warmers, things like that. You know, it really depends. It depends on where you're bugging out.
Yeah, I would include in that section too a tarp, like a 6x8 tarp, just because you can use it for so many different things. And tarp's a good thing to put in your bag.
I agree. I have a product recommendation for an actual heavy duty survival tarp that we own. Because you don't want a chintzy ass $5 tarp. Those things, they suck. I mean, if that's all you can afford, get that. But,
right.
You know, chintzy tarps, they rip. They don't have the durability. Paracord kind of goes along with tarps and survival shelters and things. Mm-hmm. We covered paracord in our last episode pretty well. You know, socks, base layer, again, depending on where you're bugging out from. For us here in southern Arizona, in the winter, we get kind of chilly temps, but, you know, like right now it's negative 40 in Montana, so you would want to factor in some more survival shelter equipment.
Some extra layers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it gets to a point where it doesn't matter how many layers you have on. If it's effing cold out, it's effing cold. But then you do more strategy. Like, you can build a survival shelter out of snow and it'll insulate you, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're blasting through these. Number 5, survival navigation.
Mm-hmm.
This takes some strategy. This takes some skill. Get a damn map of your area.
Yeah, and you can also, you can download topographical maps directly to your phone.
Yeah.
So if you've got your phone with you and, you know, you're able to charge it, that's a great way to keep maps. But you should also have paper backups.
I'm a big fan of books, maps, pamphlets, things like that. Just in case your technology fails, you could break your phone, you could lose your phone, not be able to charge your phone. But if you have a map, you need to know how to read it. And I was fortunate enough to catch the tail end of pre-technology, so I can actually read maps pretty good. But I'd say if you're under 30, you might not know how to read a map.
Well, and that goes back to your skill sets, to some basic orienteering, mountaineering skills is something to certainly look into. And the Army is a great resource for that kind of stuff, too, because all of their field guides are published all over the place. You can pick up an Army, I don't know what they call the guide, but it, you know, teach for soldiers about orienteering and mountaineering.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I never thought about that. I would say my map and compass skills would need some refining. Orienteering, using a compass with a map, it does take some knowledge. So that would be something you'd want to mm-hmm. practice. And you could always splurge on a satellite GPS map device. They're $400 or $500. As long as you can charge it, you will have access to mapping systems unless the satellites fall out of the sky, which is highly unlikely.
mm-hmm.
Satellites should be fairly reliable in SHTF. And that rolls me into the next section, survival communication, SHTF communication. How will you communicate? How will you stay informed?
Mm-hmm. Well, the little hand crank radios are a good option.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to get into that I have absolutely no skill and knowledge in at the time is ham radios, because they've got those things down to handheld size. You know, ham radios are a great option.
I didn't realize they have them in handheld size, because when I think of ham radio, I think of the big bulky things that truckers have in their mm-hmm. trucks, you know, but they actually have upgraded right. this technology, the hardware.
And you're supposed to get a license to do ham radio, but you're supposed to have a license to communicate on the ham radio, but without a license, legally, you can listen. So it's
really?
Just a way to listen to the information. And, you know, I mean, me personally, in an SHTF situation anyway, I'm not worrying about the licensing.
Oh, please.
I would imagine most people wouldn't.
Why would you have to have a license? I don't understand to communicate over ham radio. I don't get it.
I don't know.
Just another way of controlling the population, controlling information.
Maybe they're, I have no idea what's about. I shouldn't talk at all about it because I don't know, but that is just another license, in my opinion, just like a driver's license. I don't understand any of it.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised they don't have people get licenses to own a website. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the next step. Like, oh, you have to have a website license to build a website, you know, because they want to control all our
Right.
communications so badly. It's just
Right.
ridiculous. Yeah, you at least want to have a little radio so you can keep tabs on what's going on. Your cell phone, your charger, you know, that kind of thing. You can go into walkie-talkies, two-way hand radios. It took us a little research and trying out of different types of radios that would be good for bugging out, and we actually found a set of radios that are chargeable by USB. So the battery charged radios suck because your batteries are dead within 4 hours and they're chintzy. Like if you have to put double A's or triple A's, you're basically going to burn through batteries so fast, it's not worth it. And then the other side of that are the plug-in, you know, with the 12 volt plug-in, and those are the more heavy
With a
duty
base.
radios.
Yeah.
So we wanted to find a middle ground, and we found the Radiodity USB plug-in radios that actually holds a decent charge. It has a decent range, and they're kind of a mid-weight radio, so they're not too heavy for our bags, but they're not too chintzy either. So that's what we have for our walkie-talkie bug-out bag situation. But nothing's going to be perfect in that realm. Radios are just tricky. I have the link on the website for those Radiodity radios if you're interested. And if you really want to up your game, you can get your handheld satellite communicator, which basically you can text from, you can contact emergency services. But the downside to that is you got to have two. Because, you know, not everybody has satellite communicators, so who are you communicating with?
Right.
Anything else you'd add to, like to add to communicating? Should we get those like the tin cans with the string, you know?
Tin can
Does
and a
that work?
string, right? Yeah. Can also serve as like, a tripwire
Yeah. That's a multi-tool right there.
it to. Right.
So the last category, Faction 7, I put it in here. I had just added this faction this year to the article. I don't find it to be necessary, but it's nice. And that is the personal hygiene section, which we both have, you know, probably not the greatest personal hygiene. I know
Well,
I don't.
off-grid hygiene is, when you live off-grid, it's not like just living in the city where everything is on demand. Not everything is always on demand when you live off-grid. So, but I think
Yeah.
people overly concern themselves when it comes to hygiene too. You don't have to shower twice a day or every day. It's just not necessary.
It's actually not good
And
for
in a
you.
bug out, oh, is it? Well, in a 72-hour bug out situation anyway, really just keeping your hands clean when you're eating, that's basically the main thing you got to worry about. It's not like you're going to have to worry about bathing in a 72-hour bug out situation.
Yeah,
Just keep your hands
I
clean.
agree. I don't care if my pits stink. I don't care if I'm hairy. But there are certain things like basic hygiene, like you said, so you don't get sick. TP, yeah. You know, I want to wipe my butt.
Yeah.
But I just use out in the woods. I like to use a smooth rock if I don't have TP. That works pretty good.
I remember you saying that. I've never tried
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, that's I've tried multiple materials in the woods. Grass, you know, the thing is that leaves and things, they aren't porous. So, and then you don't know like what kind of leaf you're using, if it's going to give you a rash or something scary. So I have found a smooth river rock is the best thing to use because it's porous. It absorbs some moisture. It's kind of warm. It feels kind of good. But you know, I would suggest packing TP, especially if you're bugging out of a city where you don't have smooth, porous river rocks to wipe your butt on.
Right.
Yeah. There's these really cool compressed wipes where they're just like probably the size of a dime. And then you add water to it mm-hmm. and it expands into a nice reusable wipe. You can use that to wipe your butt, wipe your face. We have those.
Not both.
One. What's that?
Not both, though. Like, wipe your butt or your face with it.
Or, well, wipe your face first and then wipe your butt.
There you go.
That is the recommended system. So you can use it more than once.
I don't know why I felt like I needed to say that. But
hey, you know, probably you never know. Sense. I don't know if common sense exists anymore, so... But I would hope that'd be a no-brainer. Face first, then butt, everybody. While we're talking about kind of gross topics, I am going to throw in for the ladies to take a menstrual cup with you. That's what I use. I live by menstrual cups. And I could only imagine...
I don't even know what that is.
You don't even know what it is. You don't have to participate in this. Okay. Ladies know what it is. Me. I've got a link on the website if you don't. I could only imagine the nightmare of being on your period while bugging out. This will take away a lot of that nightmare for you.
Awesome.
And then, I mean, really, that's about it. You can pack your toothbrush if you want. You know, if you're thinking it's going to turn into a long-term thing. I'm not too concerned brushing my teeth, but it is a morale booster too, to have a little bit of hygiene on the road.
Just to feel clean. Yeah. A little travel size mouthwash, something.
Yeah. Keep it simple. And that's it. Those are the factions of survival for your bug out bag. And we blasted through it in 30 minutes.
Yeah, definitely check out this article that Regina wrote. Cause it is one of the best ones I've ever read about bug out bags. So don't miss it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. It's super comprehensive, super in depth. The organization is emphatical. I don't even know how else to explain how comprehensive my organization is on the article. And then you can download the companion PDF so you can checklist off everything in the article. So it's about as comprehensive as it gets.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, we're going to wrap it up. We have some really big, exciting things in the works that we'll be revealing over the season. I don't want to give too much away, but it's a game changer. It could be a game changer for you, our listeners. For us, it is. We're building an empire. I'm just going to drop that right there.
Well, I mean, it's going to really focus around building a community of like-minded people. So
yep.
That's kind of our intent, to form a real community where people can go to gain knowledge, information, support, all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
We'll release.
And our like-minded people, yeah, off-gridders, preppers, survivalists, agorists, libertarians, etc.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a space for us all. It's a big deal, but we'll keep you informed there. Go to the offgridoutpost.com for our archives, free stuff, ebooks, things like that. You can drop us a message there. You can email us from there. It's cool. Stay tuned.
Yep.
Okay. Peace out, everybody.
Talk to you later.